If you got your Bibles, got your books today, and I hope you open them up, and I hope you follow me, especially through the introduction. I want you to follow me through all the passages I'll be pointing you to, and then I'll settle in on one. And a thought that I have that I want to preach on today. Galatians chapter number 4. If you're there, say amen. Galatians 4. Amen. Y'all get there now. Galatians 4 and 13. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Dear God Almighty, y'all slow. Galatians 4 and 13. By you that are listening by a live stream, open your Bibles up in front of your computer. And you that are listening by TV, open your Bibles up. We're going to give you some truth today. Galatians 4 and 13. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
It's good. Look at the passage with me. You know how through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not. I'll get to what that was in a moment. I'm almost able now to prove a point that I've always believed. And after studying this week, I'm more convinced I'm right about something. Let me do that again. And my temptation was in the flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. When Paul come to this area of Galatia and presented the gospel at first, they absolutely adored him. They give him such titles as an angel, and such titles as even the Lord Jesus. Now notice what he goes on to say. Where is then the blessedness you speak of? What changed? You used to love me and adore me. But you changed. That's really what he's saying. For I bear your record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Now notice, here's the text. Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I preach, or because I tell you the truth. What a passage of scripture. Anyone that knows the study of Galatians absolutely realizes that the Judaizers have crept into the church after Paul had started the church firmly on the gospel. They had bewitched the Galatians. They absolutely had infiltrated. By the way, there'd be a lot of crowd like to infiltrate Taze Valley Baptist Church and change its teaching and change our direction. But you're looking at one big old man that says they ain't going to get that way here. Amen. Somebody help me preach. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now let me give you, here's where I want you to follow me for a moment. Then I'll settle in on one truth, one thought. This whole passage, this whole book is talking about truth and error. When Brother Roger was teaching, I got the last end of his Sunday school class. I think he was teaching on law and grace today. This book deals with law and grace. This book deals with works and grace. And by the way, it's like oil and water. You can't mix them. Yeah, salvation's either all of the grace of God or it's not a grace at all.
Yeah.
Oh, let me do that again. I felt good and I don't know if it got all the way back there. Salvation is either all of the grace of God or it's not at all of the grace of God. Am I preaching? Let me give you some truths here. First of all, the truth about gratitude. By the way, you all thank God for those that preach the gospel. The true living gospel. This church, when Paul went there and established it, they loved him, they adored him, they exalted him even as high as an angel and even as high as the Lord Jesus. But something changed them. I'll tell you how much they cared about him. Now, here's the truth I want to give you that I'm convinced I'm right now. I've always been right, but I'm really more convinced. That thorn in Paul's side, ain't no doubt in my mind it was a physical infirmity. He even mentioned come to them, and they didn't reject his infirmity. Now, I personally know, I think I can establish it without a whole lot of doubt. That infirmity was his eyesight. So why would they have plucked out their eyes for him? They said they'd pluck out their eyes. They knew he was losing his eyesight. And by the way, if you really want to prove that, you can go on. I ain't trying to prove this point. It's not that large of a matter. But verse 11, chapter 6, he even said, he did not dictate this letter. This is one of the few letters Paul did not dictate to Luke or one of the others. He even says how I've written it in such large letters. He couldn't see very well, so when he wrote it in big letters because his eyesight was bad. These people loved him, had so much gratitude toward him that they would have plucked their eyes out, but they had changed. And he said, have I become your enemy? Because I preach you the truth. Let me get not only the truth about gratitude, but turn in your Bible, turn back a little bit with me. I want to build you up to what I'm going to preach here. And look in verse number six and seven, Galatians 1. I marvel that ye are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Not only did he talk to them about the truth of gratitude, but he talked to them about the truth of the gospel. You look up at me. There's only one way to heaven. It's by the grace of God, and it is by the gospel. And let me explain what the gospel is. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. There's some people who even say, well, death, burial, and resurrection to come again. That's not what the scripture says. It's the death, burial, and the resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a crowd today that's perverting the gospel, trying to add something to the gospel that you can't add to the gospel. He died on the Calvary's cross once and for all for your sin. That is the gospel, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who troubled you? I'm going to tell you what, Taze Valley Baptist Church is going to be great as long as we preach the gospel. As long as every program emphasizes getting people saved. Because every movement we have in the church ought to emphasize getting people saved, but we're not doing it right. Amen. Good preaching, Reverend. Not only about the truth of the gospel, look at chapter 2. And verse number 21 and 22. I'm going somewhere, stay with me. Are you there? Look what the Bible said. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Amen. The truth about grace. Now look at me. I am not... And if you get mad at my preaching, you're getting mad at the truth, not me. You're just making it personal. That's a real easy way. That's what they had done. They, instead of rejecting the message, they didn't like the messenger any longer. That's exactly what happened. Instead of, hey, I ain't your problem. Your problem is the message. I'm not your problem. The problem is truth. You know why you turn on preachers? You know why you turn on people that are telling you the truth? Because you don't like the truth. The truth about grace. Now, hear me out. I'm not after any church, any denomination, any movement. But I am telling you, you frustrate the grace of God if you add anything to grace. You can't add water baptism to grace. You can't say, well, we're going to sprinkle babies at 8 days old and that saves some, or get some prepared for something. No, 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 no. It's the grace of God that saves. Not water, not good works, not keeping the commandments, not taking communion. It is the grace of God. It's God's unmerited favor towards you. Ladies and gentlemen, the only way to get out of hell is the grace of God appear to you. Well, glory. Let me give you into something else. Look at chapter 3. Man, I don't know. I'm bogging down. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Not only the truth about grace, but also the truth about the Galatian location. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you obey not the truth, for whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. I want to tell you what, look at me. This is Tay Valley. This is Tay Valley Baptist Church. And I'm not going to let nobody come and bewitch my members. Amen. And we ain't changing. Amen. Why would I change something that works? Why would I change something that turns people's lives around? Why would we go another direction? Paul said, I'll tell you what's wrong with you. I've become your enemy. Because I just told you the truth. I preach every Sunday. And I'll be honest with you, I won't take a vote on y'all vote me in as pastor for another year. Because I don't want to give some of you an opportunity to say no to me. Because it just depends what mood you're in. And if I've ruffled your feathers this year.
Amen.
Hello, listen to me. I'm going to just tell you, guilty is charged, because you stay here long enough, I'm going to ruffle your feathers, because the truth ruffles feathers. Amen. Somebody help me right here. And we're not going to let anybody bewitch Taze Valley Baptist Church. We're preaching the truth. Amen. Let me give you some more. Give me some more. Look at chapter 6 and verse 7. Boy, I am going to get down to the middle. I'm going to get close right now. Look at chapter 6, verse 7. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I see the truth about God. The truth about God. I'm going to say something to you. Look at me. I don't know what kind of Christian life you're living. I don't know how you're trying to perform in your Christian life. But I'm going to make a statement to you. God's not mocked.
Amen.
Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The preacher might not know about your secret sin, your lifestyle, but God knows. You sow to the flesh, you'll reap to the flesh. You sow to the spirit, you'll reap to the spirit. Somebody help me preach. Y'all dead or something this morning? I'm preaching the truth this morning. The truth about God. God's not mocked. This liberal, compromising, secular, heathenistic world we're living in. They're pooching God out. They're trying to secularize this place. But I want to tell you, some judgment's going to come on America. God's not pleased with us changing marriage. God's not pleased with us murdering babies and selling their parts. God's not mocked. Good preaching, Reverend. Now I'm going to get to the message. Finally. Look at Galatians, back to Galatians 5 and verse 7. And I'll preach on this and I'm done. Give you three things under this thought. Oh boy. Truth about goals. He did run well. I look across this congregation. I'm going to tell you, you've run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? I'm going to give you all something. I'm going to give you a personal testimony. I sure haven't arrived. But I want you to know something. My goal is to please God. My goal is to live for God. My goal is to help people. Notice this thought here. Notice this thought. He said, who did hinder you? By the way, if you're running around with wrong people, ditch them. If they're trying to influence you with a lifestyle that's ungodly, ditch them. Who did hinder you? It's not what. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a man, woman, boy, and girl in this true room that hadn't had a what. We've all suffered. We've all had problems. We've all suffered financial setbacks. We've all suffered in our emotions. We've all suffered. It's not what. It's not the what that gets us today. It's the who. With that in mind, can I just tell it like it is? It's the crowd we're running with. Who did hinder you? You say, well, I just don't feel like I used to in church. What's your own fault? Who hindered you? What scallywag have you been listening to lately? What bum have you been listening to? What buzzard has been flying your way? Good preaching, Reverend. You're getting a little quiet back here. You've been back in London over with the sophisticated. You can jar it up a little bit back here. See, what's happening? The Bible said we have a companionship of fools. There ain't no reason for you to walk around with a bunch of fools. Now, let me give you three things and I'm done. Y'all ready? Because this actually is the message. Who hindered them? Well, look with me right down in verses number 8 through 11. And let me show you. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Well, can I say something here? Won't you quit blaming God for your problems? Blaming God because you lost a loved one. Blaming God because you got sick. Blaming God because things hadn't went quite the way you wanted. God's not to blame. There is a devil. There is an enemy. You have the flesh. Well, glory. A little leaven leaveth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you, you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And now he tells who it is. And I, brethren, if I yet preached circumcision, why did I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? Number one, what crowd you talking about? Thought I'd just cover everything this morning. The legalistic crowd. Hello. I'm a grace man. By the way, I'm going to just say this. I'm a whosoever will man. Christ will save anybody in this room if you'll come to him. By the way, there's a Calvinistic movement going on. I call it the new Calvinism. Look at me right now. There's a new Calvinistic movement today. They center around lordship, salvation. They believe they're the only one going to heaven. But I want you to know, I still believe whosoever will. Tell that bunch of Charleston that's spreading their filth everywhere. I'm telling you, it's whosoever will. Help me raise your hand. Glad God came by you and didn't look at your circumstance. Look beyond your faults. Saw your need. I'm talking about that legalistic crowd, that baptismal regeneration crowd, that crowd that live like a bunch of robots. You're not a robot. You have a free moral agency. You ought to serve God out of freedom. You ought to serve God because you love him. You ought not to be, by the way, you ain't going to put me in no mold. It's that crowd that believes you're always trying to impress somebody with their legalism. By the way, legalism is right from the devil. And a legalist is going to hell because they're adding to salvation. I didn't say it in extremists. I'm not talking about somebody who loves Jesus more than you do. That's that crowd that wants to imitate. That's that crowd that wants to impose. Now, can I say this without somebody jumping all over me? I don't like dead music, nor do I like contemporary rock music. But I don't like dead music anymore now. And you know, I've got some of my more legalistic brothers. They come to Taze Valley and heard them songs the choir sang this morning that had done fell down and shook all over. You said, do you really believe that? Oh, I believe that. We had a big conference here a few years ago, and the choir sang on Wednesday night, and there's one fella, he was pale, son. I almost walked over the piano and asked him if he's still alive. Look at me. I'm not telling you your music's going to hell, but don't come in here and telling me mine is going to hell. Somebody help me. Preaching right there. And by the way, and we got that bunch. We got this bunch of liberalistic, and I'll get to that in a moment, a bunch of people wanting to impose on us. Listen to me. Look at me. I'll preach to you what's right, and I'll preach to you what's wrong. But I'm not going to let some legalist embarrass me and embarrass the church and embarrass some lady by their filth and their talking and their ignorance. And by the way, I'm just going to get it right down where your grill is. I'm not going to tell somebody they're going to heaven, going to hell because of some certain thing they do. Because I know some weak Christians that do things. I wonder why they do them, but I don't believe they're lost. I believe they need some help. Some of that outfit thinks I'm going to hell. Because I don't preach water baptism and I don't preach this junk they preach in my preaching today. Hey, have I become your enemy? Because I'm preaching the truth. Amen. But that wasn't the only problem in this crowd. Oh, Lord, my time's running out and I don't want to miss this last 2 points. Look at verse 12 and 13. I would they which even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but love, serve one another. Tell you another crowd to come on you. That's that liberal crowd. And you know, here they are. Can I tell you? Well, I have liberty. You don't have liberty to go out and drink. You don't have liberty to go out and to the bars and the clubs and watching people take their clothes off. Ain't no liberty with that. Good preaching, Reverend. I tell you what they'll do, they'll distract you. I'm going to make a statement here. I'm probably going to get booed, but it's okay. I want you to watch Joe Osteen the next month. And if he preaches on heaven or sin, or hell or sin, I'll eat a blondie. I'll eat a Chad Eastep blondie, a double blondie. I didn't know what one of them was till this week. That's two cakes and one ice cream. I'm a Baptist.
Amen.
I got too many hurting families to get in that mess. I got too many people. And by the way, I'll tell you something else I ain't going to argue about. I ain't going to argue about politics. I'm not a politician. Now, if you're saying it's political to preach against people killing babies, you're wrong and I'm right. That has nothing to do with politics. If politics is pushing it, they're wrong and they're sinful and they're ungodly.
Amen.
And by the way, if you say it's political to preach against gay marriage and them 7-9 people up there in Washington think they can impose their will on us, listen to me, that's not political. That's just downright wicked. Not only liberals distract, they deceive. Mm-hmm. That's the same crowd that says, don't go to church on Sunday night. Come to our sale. That sounds like something dirty to me. Sale? That sounds like jail to me. I ain't going to jail. Then they'll try to derail you. You look at me. There's some of you living too close to that liberal crowd. There's some of you probably like to be out of Taze Valley Baptist Church because you don't like my strong preaching. It's not, and you know what's happened? I've almost become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Shame on you. I love you. I care for you. Last thing, I'm done. Oh, I got to hurry. If I miss this one, I'll miss a big point. Look at verse 16. I'll show you what else, what other crowd. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. How many of y'all think walking's exercise? Raise your hand. Walk. The reason I'm a little plumpy right now, I ain't been walking enough. Gained a few pounds, I ain't been walking enough. I mean, Marguerite's got me eating nothing. I mean, I'm on K rations right now, but I'm still not walking enough. I'll tell you another crowd that try to get you down. That's the lazy crowd. Amen. That's that crowd that comes up and says, oh, listen, Jared, you're pushing too hard, them young people. You're trying to get them to live too close. Man, rest a little bit. Don't require them to be on Sunday night. Don't require them to be on Wednesday night. Yeah. And Jared, convince Pastor Smith he ought to let us off on Sunday night. You better not try.
No worries.
He ain't been here a while. I'm going to persecute him today. That's that crowd that wants to compliment you for getting lazy. Hey, some of you, look at me. You need to still serve God. Amen. Have I become your enemy because I preach you the truth? And then the crowd that criticizes. Oh, yeah. That's that lazy crowd that won't say boo to the devil once criticized. I want y'all to know something. I'm going to go on record. If you go up in the sanctuary and up in that other building, it's chaotic. There's more clothes up there to clothe the poor and more food than I ever seen. They give 8,000 pounds of food out yesterday. 128 families, 43 first-time families, 7 saved. Somebody give God the glory. And there'll be some of you say, well, you're changing. I ain't changing nothing. I'm just adding stuff. Amen. Roger, I refuse to die. I refuse to put me in a little box because I'm getting a little older. I still got it, boy. You look at me. I still got a burden. I still want to reach people. I still love all y'all. Amen. I'll tell you what's happening. Getting used to some of them lazy preachers that won't preach the Bible. Getting used to some of them lazy people that are influencing you and trying to get you away from walking for God. It takes more of a man to walk for God than some loser that's walking according to the world. Let me just ask you a question. Have I become your enemy? Because I preach you the truth. Two things and I'm done. Sinner man, look at me. You don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. Don't care what religion you're in. Am I enemy because I'm telling you need to get saved? Am I your enemy because I want you to get right with God? Am I your enemy because I want you to find God's love? And saint, am I your enemy because I question liberal lifestyles? Have I become your enemy? I'm the guy that prays for you along with others. I'm the one that hurts when you're not in church. I'm one that my heart's broke when I feel you're not going the right direction. Have I become your enemy because I preach the truth? I pray this morning that you'll find out that the gospel and the preacher of the gospel is your best friend. Bow your head with me.